One-on-one personal relationship. Amen. I preached the message this morning on the blessing. There's no other name given among heaven and earth whereby men must be saved. Amen. I'm glad I know Jesus in the free pardon of sin tonight. Fletcher First Baptist, we love you. We thank you always for having us, making us feel right at home. Brother Roy, we love you. It's right here. We'll get her wired up in just a second. But we thank you from the bottom of our heart for asking us to come out. Y'all are our family. You may not claim us, but we claim you. And we love y'all very much. We love our pastor, Brother Darren. We know full well the influence that y'all have had on his life, and the influence that he's having on my family's life. 2020 has been a crazy year, has it not? And I'll be honest with you, I'll be glad to see it. Goodbye. Amen. You can say amen right there. I'm not wishing our life away or nothing like that, but I'll be glad when 2020 is over. I think we got this mic on, brother. But even through the hard times of this year, even when all the dates we had booked got canceled on us, even when we didn't know what was going to happen, they cut my pay where I work and all these different things. You know, within ourselves, we kind of worry about things like that, and no doubt y'all have been through some hard times yourself and storms. But can I say this? Through every step, every day of 2020, God has been faithful. He's been with us every step of the way. I've not been wanting anything. I've not been needing anything. He's supplied everything I could have ever wanted. And I don't know how he did it, just to be honest with you, but that's the God we serve. He's a whole lot bigger than our little minds can comprehend. Amen. Amen. He certainly is. But we're going to be looking tonight in this book of Ephesians chapter 5, if you brought your Bible, and I'll give them just a minute to get it on the screens. Ephesians chapter number 5, looking at verse number 15 and 16, brothers. But looking at this little verse of scripture here, I want us to notice a little phrase that we find captured here in the book of Ephesians. Don't you love reading after Brother Paul? What a preacher he was, and to wrote so many gospels out of a prison cell, not knowing whether he'd see the light of the next day or not, not knowing where his next meal was coming from. But boy, he was faithful to the end, and he gave us these scriptures that we can, even still today, some 2,000 years later, that we can still apply them to our own lives. And what a blessing that it is. Well, I'm glad. Aren't you glad we still have a Bible tonight? Amen. COVID couldn't take our scriptures away. COVID couldn't take our Savior away. And I'm glad that we still have the Word of God that we can turn to. But Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 15 says this. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I want us to focus on this three little word phrase, redeeming the time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for Fletcher First Baptist and Brother Roy Waldrop. And God, they'll never know this side of heaven what they mean to our family and our ministry, and how, God, you just kind of messed our hearts together. And Lord, we love them. And I pray, God, that your hand be upon each and every one that's here tonight. God, open up our hearts for just a few moments as we break the bread of life. And God, I pray that you'll help us to get out of the way. God, that much can be made out of Jesus Christ, because it's really all about you anyway. The greatest name ever given, that man Jesus, that paid a price for us that we could not pay. Lord, we love you. We give you praise in your house for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was driving down 226. A lot of y'all have been to Bethel, right? You've come over to Spruce Pine, and you know the mountain on 226 between Marion and Spruce Pine, Marion Mountain, Cox's Creek Road. But I was driving down there the other day, and it seems like I drive that road a whole lot, because there's different churches I do some work at down there. We go to Bible college down at Brother Tom Walker's church. And I was going to work on something at a church down there at the bottom of the mountain. This thought come to my mind, am I really utilizing all the time that God has given me? Am I doing the most that I could do with the time that I have? And I heard a song on the radio come on. It's called Redeeming the Time. And I thought, well, boy, you don't hear that preached about a lot. And it really pricked my heart and made me wonder, God, am I really redeeming the time? And we've all heard it said, the older that we get, the faster that time seems to move by. And when I was a young kid, maybe my girl's age or those little ones' age, boy, didn't time seem to drag by, especially around Christmas time. Boy, you wanted to get into those presents that were under the tree, and It seemed like it would never get here, but once it got here, it seemed like it was over in such a hurry. But the older I get, the faster time seems to fly by. Amen. And no longer am I that little boy looking for presents, but I'm just getting all these gray hairs in my head now. And times are moving on. Time waits for no man. And so I've really questioned my heart lately. Am I really redeeming the time that I've been given? And thinking about how fast our life moves, boy, didn't COVID really slow us down this year? We got to spend a lot of family time at home together. So many dates that we had got canceled. And for the first time in many, many years, we got together around our little table as a family and eat meals together. We weren't so busy anymore. Boy, it seemed good to do that. Amen. COVID hadn't been necessarily all cursed to America. If you've looked at it and used it the right way, COVID's kind of been a blessing to us. Now, not to say that being sick or anything like that's a blessing, but it has brought us closer together as a family. It's placed us trusting God a whole lot deeper. My faith is a whole lot stronger because of what we've went through this year. And ain't that what troubles and storms tend to do to us? Amen. If we keep our faith in God and trust in Him and not turn our back on Him, boy, don't just stand still and see the Lord move. Boy, He can move in mighty, mighty ways. Amen. And from what I've seen this year, we serve a big, mighty God. And thank God we still do. Amen. But as I was driving, as preachers, we tend to study as much as humanly possible, or at least I try to study whenever I get a moment. And this crazy life with five kids in the house and my wife and my job, it's hard to find time, I'll be honest with you, to get your nose in the Word, preacher. But we try to steal away and get all we can. And as we studied over this scripture, we have the best intentions, but the weeks get away from us, the days get away from us. Before we know it, we're getting old. Time gets away from us in such a hurry. But each day it brings us 24 new hours. Each day brings us 1,440 minutes. It brings us 86,000 seconds per day. And I ask you this one question. Are you redeeming the time that you've been given? Now, if I was a banker or if I was a millionaire and I had all this money, I could come out to each and every one of you and I could come to each one of you individually and say, I've got $1,440 for you to spend today. But the catch is you have to spend it all in one day or you lose it. Boy, we'd be out buying everything we could find, would we not? There ain't no telling what all y'all would come in here dressed like. What y'all be driving, what all you'd have at your home waiting on you when you got home. Because you would do your very best to spend $1,440 every day. Do you realize tonight that the time that God has given us is so much more valuable than money? He gives us 1,440 minutes every day. How are you redeeming the time that you've been given? What are you doing with the time that God has allotted for you? No man is promised tomorrow. We're not promised anything tomorrow. Lay not up your treasures for tomorrow, for you don't know what tomorrow holds for you. But we've been given such a blessing, 1,440 minutes a day. What are we doing with this time that we've been given? Someone once took a survey, and it simply asked one question, what are you living for? 94% answered they were just enduring, trying to get through their day for something tomorrow. 94% were living for something tomorrow that they weren't even guaranteed was going to happen. Sometimes we talk about what we're going to do tomorrow, and I believe we ought to be prepared. We ought to make plans. We ought to do the very best we can to be prepared for our future. Amen. We ought to set aside things for our children. The Lord could come back any minute, but He may tarry another 100 years. He may tarry another 1,000 years. We don't know the timetable of God. And part of redeeming the time is using our time and our resources wisely to prepare our children for a better future, prepare ourselves and our family that we can better serve God. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. The scripture tells us in Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And it seems like when we're younger, we have all these big dreams and all these big plans in our minds. I remember thinking I wanted to go in the military at one point. I wanted to go in the highway patrol at one point. I wanted to be a firefighter at one point. And when you're a little kid, all these things race through your mind. We couldn't wait when I was a Rosie and Garth's age, our little ones over here. I couldn't wait till I was 10 years old. Boy, the big double digits. I could not wait till I was 10 years old. Then when I hit that, I couldn't wait till I was a teenager. Now I've got teenagers myself. Lord, help us. No longer just a child. We're young adults now. And then we couldn't wait till we were 16. Boy, all kinds of freedom. You get your driver's license in when you turn 16. We couldn't wait. We're wishing our life away. Then when we got our driver's license, we couldn't wait till we were 18. Mom and Dad couldn't tell us what to do anymore. We were adults. We were on our own. We were big shots. We could do anything we wanted. I had no doubt some of you in here couldn't wait to use 21. And we know what that was all about. Aren't you glad God saves us from all that junk? Amen. God's still a good saving God. Amen. But once we hit 21, we think we finally arrived. Now, I've learned this, preacher. The older I get, the more I realize, the less I know. When I was 20, I thought I had everything figured out. Now I'm in my mid-40s and don't know a thing. And I ain't even going to pretend I know a thing, because it would just be foolish to think, though. But once we've passed all these milestones in our lives, we start facing the real world, and we start wishing that we could go back to the way things were when we were the age of the teenagers or the age of the kids. But we cannot relive our childhood. We can never regain time once it's gone. That's why it's important for us today to redeem the 1,440 minutes that we're given every day, to redeem the time that we're given wisely, to use it wisely for the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 6:24 says this, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." A lot of times we're so caught up worrying about tomorrow that we can't enjoy the blessings that we have today. Boy, we're a blessed folks, are we not, church? I'm blessed beyond measure. No doubt some of you, as we've come through this Christmas season, you can stand here and say, "Boy, God's been good, He's been faithful, and I am blessed beyond measure." But we seem to worry for tomorrow. We seem to worry keeps us from being able to redeem the time that we're given. Adrian Rogers once says, "We face our future out of breath because we've been fighting tomorrow's battles today." Redeem, it's this word that we find here, redeeming the time. Redeem is taken from the Greek word exagorazo, which literally means to buy out of the marketplace. To redeem, purchased, bought with a price. And that's what Jesus Christ, when He shed His blood, He did so to redeem you and I from the clutches that sin had on our ever-dying soul. And I'm glad that He redeemed us. But He also informed us to redeem the time that we've been given. And the picture here is of a merchant in the marketplace selling his goods. And you go by and you exchange money for his goods. You redeem those goods with money. Are you redeeming the time that you're given here? Redeem, it's used in the present tense, which calls us to make it our lifestyle. Make it a habit, a daily a choice, if you will, to redeem it wisely. How are you redeeming your time? If we're walking wisely, as verse 15 says, it says we're filled like, look in verse 18, it says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with" what? "The Spirit." Be filled with Spirit. If we redeem our time wisely, we can be filled with the Spirit. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen here are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So what are we living for? Are you redeeming the time that you've been given? Are you using your time wisely? No doubt some of you, your hair's graying a little bit like mine is, you could give some good advice to the young ones coming up saying, redeem your time wisely, because before you know it, it's gone. You turn around and it's gone. You turn around and the kids are grown. Turn around and time just gets away from you. But there are some reasons why we need to redeem our time wisely tonight. And I'm going to look at three of these little things real quick and we'll get out of here. No doubt y'all are tired from the Christmas holidays, and boy, I've enjoyed Christmas this year, amen? We've had a house full of kids, and they just bring a joy that you can't explain. And then I ask myself, have we redeemed our time wisely? Because it's not going to be long, they're going to have families of their own. Time moves on, amen? But number one this evening, your church needs you to redeem the time. If we examine our bodies this evening, each part of our body has a specific function that it can only do itself. My fingers can't do the job of my legs. My feet can't do the job of my hands. If we break a hand or we break an arm, no doubt the other one's going to get tired from overuse because the members have been broke down. The church is very much the same way this evening. The church needs each individual member doing its part. The church needs you to redeem your time wisely. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." Teachers in the church have their place. Preachers have their place. The pastors have their place. The deacons have their place. The church members have their place. The musicians have their place. Each and every one of you that are born by the, been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, you have your place in the church of God. You have your place in this church that you call home. When you're not here, boy, it puts a strain on everybody else that's left behind. Just like I said, if you break your arm, you're going to wear your other one out. You need to be in your place when it's time to be here. But a trend that we see happening all across our country, people are falling off by the wayside, and you have about 10% of the people doing 100% of the work. We have a lot of spectators sitting in the seats here watching and complaining and just trying to oversee the work. God did not save us to be spectators. God did not save us to sit on a church pew and do nothing. He called us into the service of God when He saved us, and He expects you to do your part. Amen. If it's nothing else but pray for your pastor. Boy, I would say you could use all the prayers you could get, Brother Roy. I know we could. We can use all the prayers we can get. And God's called you for a specific purpose in your church. And when you're not here, the body that you have, believers that you are associated with, miss you. They want you to be here. Looking in Exodus chapter number 17 real quick, if I can find my place. Exodus 17, verse number 8, and it says, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed." He held his hand up, Israel prevailed. Don't you know the man of God, he got tired of holding his hand up. And his arms got weak, and he had to let him down. And what does Scripture say happened here? When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. And Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and they put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. We need some more people here like Aaron and Hur. Your pastor needs you. Your church needs you to be in your place. Your church and pastor need you to redeem the time. He can't do everything by himself. Your pastors can't do everything by themselves. They need some folks along the way to help hold their hands up in the midst of the battle when the devil's raging against them. They need some help to fight against the world and everything that's going on. Who's going to stand and help them? Who's going to help them? Who's going to redeem their time and help them along the way? Friends, you've been called to do that. If this is your pastors, they need your help. They need you to redeem the time for them. Everywhere we go on Sunday mornings, we typically have our bigger crowds, and Sunday nights it kind of dies off, maybe half or so. Wednesday night seems to be the smallest number, and it's like that everywhere. And I know COVID has changed everything about the landscape of the church, has it not? Who'd ever thought that you'd be a televangelist, Brother Roy, on Facebook? 10 years ago, every preacher around here was preaching on Facebook and all these things, and every one of them was preaching on it. But I'm glad God gave us tools along the way that we can use to spread the gospel. Amen. It all depends on how you use things like that, but I'm glad that we have an outlet that we can spread the gospel and you can help folks in your congregation. And this year's just been something different. Amen. But there ain't nothing like being in the house of God. There ain't nothing like coming together with the people of God. There ain't nothing like coming in here and getting under the singing and the preaching and feeling the Holy Spirit move through here like a mighty breeze. And He comes through and you feel something stirring up in your heart. I'm like King David was. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." There's nothing like being around God's people. And your church needs you to be here in your place. Amen. Redeem the time that you've been given, because we're not promised that we'll ever get to meet here like we have tonight. No doubt y'all had a wonderful service this morning. You're not promised of any other Sunday mornings. Do you realize that? The Lord may come and take us all away, and if He does, hallelujah, we'll get to go to heaven and rejoice forevermore. But just like the things that's going on in Nashville and all over our country, we don't know what tomorrow holds. So we need to be redeeming the time that we're given today. Amen. But a lot of times we come into church and we say, okay, Lord, I'm here. I've come in. I've done my part. I'm going to sit here. You bless me if you can. I'm not going to move. I'm not going to raise my hands. I'm not going to get behind the preacher. I'm not going to say a word. And we think we've done God a favor by coming into the house of God and just plopping down on the church seat. God expects more of that out of us. And what if God treated us like that when we come to Him and needed something? Amen. If we come to God's throne, and no doubt that many times we've brought petitions to God, we've come humble and our heart's broken, we've really needed something from the Lord, and has He ever failed us? Has He ever once turned us away? No, He's attentive. He knows exactly what we need, when we need it, even before we need it. But He's always been there and faithful to us. Can we do not the same thing for Him? Can we not be faithful for just a little while and come in here and work together as a body of believers? Why? Your church needs you to redeem the time that you've been given. He deserves nothing less than our best, amen? And He's blessed us over and over again. And you look out in the parking lot and you see all these fine cars, and no doubt you come from fine homes and all these things that God's given you. What are you doing for Him? Had He done nothing else but save our soul, that was enough for me to stand here tonight and praise His holy name. But He's done so much more and so much greater. And I give Him praise in His house tonight for how good He's been, amen? And I can't thank Him enough. One of these days, I cannot wait till I get to nail down at those nail-scarred feet and thank Him for what He's done for me. Oh, He's been so good. He's given me health to live all these years. He took sickness from my body. He's given me a good family, a good home, a ministry that He's trusted us with. And what am I doing with it? Am I redeeming the time that I have? I thank Him for all those things. But none of that ever happened. Just saving my soul, I could never thank Him enough. Church, we can't thank Him enough. And so many times we take the blood of Jesus for granted. Our church, your pastors, they need us to redeem the time. Secondly, tonight, your family needs you to redeem the time. And as I was studying over this message, my mind, I love to read about Joseph. Boy, what a picture of Christ he is. Amen. But I love to study about Joseph. And my mind went back to the story when he was a young boy, and he was, you know, how his brothers took his coat off of him and dipped it in blood, and they sold him off into slavery. No doubt, Joseph, it would have been very easy for him to have given in to the way the Egyptians lived. It had been easier for him to follow after the crowd. He could not see what God was doing in his life. He could not see what was going to happen down the road. But he redeemed the time that he was given wisely, and he lived for God every step of the way. We're expected to do the same thing today. Why? Because our family needs us to do this. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what's coming 5, 10, 15 years down the road. Just like Joseph didn't know. He had no idea that a great famine was coming. He had no idea that he would be second in charge to Pharaoh to rule over the land and provide provision for everybody in the countryside. He didn't know that his family would be starving and he would be able to provide for them. But he redeemed the time that he was given and he stayed faithful to God. He redeemed the time that he had. And because he did, his family prospered. His family survived. Your family needs you to redeem the time. Now, we don't understand why sickness comes our way. We don't understand why COVID came our way. We don't understand why we're going through all these things that we're going through in 2020. But I can tell you this, God knows. And in His time, He may show us a few things and we may never see what He's wanting to do down here. But you got to imagine life like this, that we're standing here on the sidelines. Did y'all get to see any parades this year at Christmas time? We had one in our little town, and I took these kids up there, and we all stood on the sidelines, and it was colder as all get out, and we froze to death, but we stood there trying to have some sense of normalcy, watching the Christmas parade come by. That's kind of how our life is. They would come by, and here would come one truck along the way, and we'd see one float here, and the marching band would come through, they'd come through and do all these things, but we could only see one thing at a time. Life is like that for us. We can only see things one event at a time. We don't know what's coming next. We know where we've been, but we don't know what's coming behind today. But you imagine this parade that we just looked at. God's up here high atop from His point of view. He's looking over the portals of heaven, if you will, and he sees where the parade started, and he sees the road as far as you can see ahead of it. He sees everything in the middle. He sees everything on the end and all the road this way. He can see the whole thing from beginning to end. And he knows what's working out in our lives. Joseph couldn't see. He would see it one thing at a time. But God in his foreknowledge knew Joseph needed to go through these little things to get to where he was going. God does the same thing for us. And he expects you to redeem your time because your family needs you to redeem your time tonight. So many times I feel like I mess up along the way because I'll be honest with you, a lot of times my faith's weak. And I struggle with things like that, but God showed me this year that I can trust him. I didn't know how he was going to make ends meet. I didn't see how he was going to provide, but he certainly did. And I stand here blessed beyond measure. He's been faithful. He's been true. And when we were going through it, I didn't know why. And sometimes along the way, we want to quit and give up. That's our human nature. We want to quit and give up. But I'm glad that he don't give up on us. Amen. He sticks with us. And he knows what we're going to be facing tomorrow and the days ahead. And I'm glad that even though I couldn't see what was going to happen, and times seemed so hard. Can't you imagine how bad Joseph felt when he was cast down into the pit? Didn't know if he was going to live. Then he was sold off and took into Potiphar's house. And he was brought up to the palace. And then Potiphar's wife lied on him. And he was thrown into the prison. And he says, God, what are you doing? Why are you doing all this to me? I don't understand, God. I've tried to live for you. I've done all these things. Why are you treating me so bad? But in the end, we see the end results. Because we can read on ahead. And many years later, Joseph was used in a mighty way to save his family. And all these things were working to put him in place where he'd be exactly where he needed to be when his family needed him the most. Your family needs you to redeem the time. It's important that we leave a godly example for those coming up behind us. And I ask this, what do my children see at home? Who do they see when I'm not in the pulpit? What do they see when I'm not in the church house? They see who I really am. And I want them to see somebody as godly at home as I am in the pulpit. Because that's more of my testimony than me standing up here before you. I was watching a video the other morning. It is actually quite funny. You know how we used to line kids up and they'd say memory verses and sing in a song, and they'd hand the mic to one little girl and she'd sing Jesus Loves Me, and they handed the mic off to another and he sung the B-I-B-L-E. They handed this mic off to this ruddy-looking little feller, and he just started belting out something so super spiritual. He said, all my exes live in Texas. Started singing it right in the middle of church. And his little mama ran up there and jerked the microphone out of his hand. You thought she was going to die. But children are what they are in public, what they see at home. Now, my kids have never embarrassed me like that. No doubt they're smiling now. They could probably tell you a few tales themselves. Amen. We're all guilty of that. But I want to redeem the time that I've given because my family needs me to redeem the time. Amen. There's an old saying that says, you are what you eat. That applies to the physical as well as the spiritual. If you're filling your mind and your heart full of the world all week long, how can we come into the house of God and worship him on Sunday morning? We really are what we eat. I mean, it shows physically. It's been a hard year. COVID's been rough. Amen. Some of you are faring a little better than I have. But what I put into my head, what I put into my ears, what I put into my eyes is just as important as what I put into my mouth. How much time have you spent in the Word of God this week? How much time have you spent in prayer this week? How much time have you spent talking to the Father? I'm glad that we have an advocate with the Father, amen. When I need anything, I can come straight to the throne room of grace. I don't need a man in a box to come and present my prayer for me. I don't need somebody to interpret my prayers for me. I have a direct line to the throne room, amen. Because of Jesus Christ. But how many times do I fail to take advantage of that? Through the week, my greatest source of power, my greatest source of strength, my greatest source of help, I tend to take it for granted. Don't even talk to him until I absolutely have something as a last resort. God, help us to not do that. Help us to redeem the time that we're given, to spend time in the Word, to prepare for Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night services, to prepare to stand behind our preacher and to get our families ready to hear the Word of God. Help us to redeem the time, because our families need us to redeem the time. Scripture after Scripture tells us about the importance of redeeming the time for our children's sake and for the generations to come after us. Psalm 78:6 says that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto the people that shall be born, and that he hath done this. Psalm 71:18 says this, and I love it. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, well, that's talking about some of us, is it not? O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. If God's done something good for you, you need to be showing those that are coming up behind you how good God is, how faithful God is, how true God is. Because there ain't nobody like him. Amen. Psalm 102 says, this shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. There may be coming a day in my kids' lives that they don't have a lot of things in their life to praise God for, but if we'll pass down some things, if we'll redeem the time that we're given, we can give them a good godly heritage that they can praise God when they come into the house of God. So I ask you this, are you redeeming the time that you're given with your family? Are you redeeming the time for your church? And thirdly and lastly tonight, your future depends upon you redeeming your time. Our time here is temporary. Life's short. I had a friend of mine pass away a few months ago. Boy, life, it really gets your attention when somebody close to you passes away. If it's somebody that you don't really know, you don't think about a lot about of it. And if it's somebody that's getting on 100 plus years old, you don't think a whole lot about it. But you realize we have an appointment with death ourselves. We don't know when that appointment's going to come. And our future depends on us redeeming the time that we're being given. Because we may step out of here tonight and somebody hit us. We may never make it home tonight. We were driving over to Gray, Tennessee this morning and passed a car sitting on its top, and there was vehicle after vehicle on the sides of the road because of the snow that came Christmas Eve. And in fact, I was driving home. We went to my family's house. They lived over in Madison County. I live in Yancey County, about 20 minutes from my parents' house. And we went over there for Christmas Eve dinner. And of all things, we never do this, but we'd forgotten a gift at home for my little niece that was in from Washington, D.C., and about 5 o'clock, I thought, I'm going to run and get that for her because I'm not going to get to see her very much, and I want her to be able to open that. And I run home, and it's pouring the rain and 40-some degrees, and I get everything at the house ready, and we're in that big conversion van, and it's made for snow, I'll just tell you that. But I'm kidding. But no sooner had I got to my house and turned back, get about 5 miles from my parents' house, getting ready to go down the mountain from Yancey County to Madison County, well, the temperature dropped about 12 degrees, and there was about 3 inches of snow on the ground. In a matter of seconds, time, everything changed. My circumstances changed, and I had to turn that old van around, go back home, get my four-wheel drive, so I could go get my family. And I said all that to say this. God knew that we needed to forget that gift, or we wouldn't have made it home that night. Because we'd have just get carried on with Mom and Dad, not looking outside to see how bad the weather got. But there's the reason why things happen the way they do sometimes. We don't know why they happen like that. We would have never forgotten that gift. Patricia, she's so organized, she had everything bagged up and ready, but this one gift was left outside. God knew. And just like we sang about, God is taking good care of us. Because he was, I was able to help somebody wrecked right in front of me. I helped them get their vehicle off the road. I got to take them home and witness to them. As a man I work with, and any other time I'd have never got to speak to that man. But because of that, God knew what I needed that night. I got to take him home, then I went and got my family. We got home, made it home safely. And we drug that old conversion van out tonight, out of the ice and snow. We're still iced over where we live. But I think we'll be all right this evening. But I said all that to say this, we don't know what eternity holds for us. We don't know what our future holds for us, but we can know who holds our future. Amen. And if you'll bear with me for just a moment, I want one of my girls to come help me for just a second. And this is a crude example as best of what I'm trying to say here, why you need to redeem the time you'll be given for your future. And I was thinking about eternity along the way and how long it really is. And I've got this little rope here, and I want you to run with that. Let's take this side, baby, if you will. She's going to take this to the back of the sanctuary, and I'm going to pull this up here with me. And while she's pulling, I'm going to stand on it. But I was thinking how long eternity really was. Back some years ago, I had another friend that passed away, and a preacher friend gave me some advice. Boy, it just really changed my perspective on everything. And he said these little words. He said, "We'll get to be in heaven a whole lot longer than we'll be without them on earth." Our little finite minds can't comprehend how big eternity is, how long it really is, from everlasting to everlasting. But you know what? That's the God we serve. That's what He lives in. But how are you redeeming your time for your eternity? Well, we may sit here and think if we live to be 100 years old, we've lived a long, good life. But in the length of eternity, what is that compared to? Brother Roy, I'm going to come and put this in your hands. And if your cameraman will zoom down in on me real quick, I want to show you something. I'm going to cut off a little piece of this rope. And everybody saw the rope being pulled, right? All right, we see it from beginning to end. I'm going to cut you off just a little piece right there. That little piece of rope represents your life. This rope here represents eternity. And this is a crude example of how it is. Brother, I'm going to give you one. You're a blessing to us and our family. That little shaving there represents your life on this rope of eternity. Brother, I'm going to give you one. I wish I could go around to give everybody one so you could see what we're doing here. If we live to be 100 years old, we think we've got all the time in the world. But when compared to eternity, when compared to the length of how long it is, you can't see the end of it back there. And when I put this down, you can't see where it starts. That's how long eternity is. How are you redeeming the time that you've been given? You may think you've lived 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 10 years, 18 years. You may think you've lived a long life. But when you compare it to how long eternity is, it's so important that you redeem your time tonight. Give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, because your time's short when compared to eternity. Your future depends on how you redeem your time. And I ask you this one question: what have you done with the time you've been given? If you live 50 years beyond tonight, it's not a drop in the bucket to how long eternity is. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to spend a whole eternity without knowing Jesus Christ is my Savior. I'm glad I can take it to a place where I knelt in an old-fashioned altar. I was 23 years old. My dad was a deacon at the church we grew up back in the community of Belog up in Yancey County. And yeah, he drug me to church every time the doors were open. I don't have some big long testimony to tell you of how I was out of partying and doing all these things. But I was just as lost sitting on a church pew as the drunk man is sitting on a bar stool. And it took the same blood to save my soul that it was anybody else. Scripture says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And I'm glad I know of a day and I can take it to a place where I redeemed my time and I give my heart and life for Jesus Christ. And as we're standing over the house this morning, I want my family to come back and get ready to sing a song. As we're standing to our feet today, I ask you this one question: have you redeemed the time that you've been given? Can you take me to a place where you knelt and called upon Jesus Christ? We may not make it out of this church building here tonight. I know Miss Anna that's usually with us. She was in a church service some years ago, and this woman passed away sitting right in front of her, right in the middle of the church house. The woman had rejoiced and praised the Lord, and after she finished shouting, she sat down and went home to glory. She redeemed her time. If something similar were to happen to you tonight, if you were to sit back down in that pew and you fell over with an aneurysm or a heart attack or something and you left to meet Jesus Christ, could you say you've redeemed your time wisely? Maybe you've knelt in an old-fashioned altar and you've called upon Jesus, but you've not done all you need to do. My family's going to sing a song, and you know the condition of your heart tonight. I know the condition of my heart. I need him more today than I've ever needed it. If you have a need this evening, this altar is open. You come while we can still redeem our time. Amen.